Okay, so where we ended off yesterday was, that the first Mishnah of the Masechta, you can come on. Where the first Mishnah of the Masechta, right, discusses that we can read Megillah a few days before if we're in a place where, well, it's defined for the moment as a village. The Gemara will go into what counts as a village a little bit later. Okay? Then the Gemara said, but that's only true in a time where there's a Beit HaMikdash, and they're sending out messengers to everybody to tell them that the new month has come. So people will know when Nisan starts, because otherwise the way people work out when Pesach is based on when Purim is. Excuse me. So Megillah has to be on the correct day, even if it's inconvenient, even if it means that people have a smaller Seuda, right, because the people in the villages can't afford to bring food in for the people who live in the cities, right, because they have to spend time listening to Megillah instead. Doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. In any case, right, we do Megillah at the correct time so that people know when Pesach is. Cool. So Gemara says, Ravashi kashale de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so Ravashi, this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, which I just said, right, Ravashi says this is problematic from another statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Omokim la lebraisa k'Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Right? And he ended up saying that the Braisa isn't really Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yossi. It was actually written by Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda. If you're wondering what on earth he's talking about, it's very unclear. It's about to explain. Umi amar Rabbi Yehuda bezman hazeh ho'il umistaklim ba ein kohen osa ela bizman. Did Rabbi Yehuda make this statement, right, that these days when we need Purim Tzaras and Pesach is, we only read the Megillah at the correct time, right? V'raminis is contradicted by another bright time. Rabbi Yehuda imasai makom shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi. Makshu ein nichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi ein kohen osa ela bizmana. Makom shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi mia karin v'afilu bizman hazeh. So the Gemara says that we have another statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that this statement, that this rule, that the people in the villages can read earlier, is only true in a place where market days are in fact on Mondays and on Thursdays, right? Because then they'll come into the city and somebody will read from them on a Monday or a Thursday, and then on Purim Day itself, they'll have already read Megillah, so now they can come in and sell food to the people who live in the city so that everybody can have a nice Purim Seuda, right? However, in a place where that's not true, where market day is not specifically on Mondays and Thursdays, then already that's different. Right? In such a case, right, this rule would not apply, as they would only have to read on the 14th, like everybody else. And then the Gemara says, that implies that's true even when there's no Beis Mikdash. In other words, it sounds like a programmatic statement, so it sounds like it contradicts the previous statement that we made in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody follows? Cool. Parenthetically, right, this halacha of this statement of market days being on Mondays and Thursdays does have a lot of different implications to halacha, right? It's the reason why we have long tachanun on Mondays and Thursdays, because the idea is if the Beis Din Shel Mateh is sitting on Mondays and Thursdays, then Hashem's Beis Din is also sitting on Mondays and Thursdays. It's the time when we need a little bit more mercy, so we need to beg a little bit more. Right? It's the reason why Kriyas HaTorah is on those days, because it's the days when most the ideas there'll be more people around to hear Kriyas HaTorah, so on and so forth. There's actually significant halachic ramifications of this. Okay.
This comes up in Tanit also.
It does. Okay. Umokim la lebraisa ke Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. And therefore he said that the braisa, right, the one which said that it's only going to be when the Beit HaMikdash is around, it was not written by Rabbi Yehuda at all. It's a different opinion. It was written by Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Okay? Umishum de kashle de Rabbi Yehuda. You have umokim la lebraisa ke Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. You've got a problem with Rabbi Yehuda's statement, so now you just, like, say, oh, no, that was really said by somebody else, and, like, make up a person. That's really strange. Rav Ashi, Shmiele, de'ika desani laka Rabbi Yehuda, de'ika desani laka Rabbi Yosi, bar Yehuda, said Rav. Rav Ashi said this because Rav Ashi had heard some people who said this in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, and some people who said the name of Rabbi Yosi, bar Yehuda. And, okay, so in that case, he'd prefer it to be, like, the one that doesn't create a problem. Now, no, this is actually a good time to talk about the way they learnt in the time of Chazal. I think it's a very important point for people to understand, right? We learn a set text, right? We learn a text which is written out, it's organized, it's compiled, it was edited over the course of centuries, right? And then we have, oodles and oodles of commentaries which occasionally made edits as well. Yeah? The way they learnt is not that way, because, well, they didn't have a text at all. Right? The way they would learn is they had somebody, and we have a lot of ados about this in the letters that the Golem wrote to people, right? The way they would learn is they had a yeshiva, right? And yeshiva in those days meant there was a Rosh Yeshiva who basically gave shiur and everybody else sat around him and asked questions which he responded to in the middle of the shiur. And the shiur had a particular structure which we're not going to go into right now, right? And when he needed to know something that somebody had said, right? The Rosh Yeshiva didn't know, right? And it was an interesting structure, right? The person who knew, like, these days, you know, Rav Nevinson knows called Torah called Baal Peh, right? So, you know, you have rabbis who know tremendous amounts of Gemara Baal Peh. That wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. The person knew it was a guy called a Tana, right? Meaning a Tana doesn't mean the Tana Rav Yehuda, the way we use the word. It means somebody who is a human memory machine, right? He's a human computer designed for, he's been trained for one thing and one thing only, and that's to remember things. And he memorizes everything, right? And he would give it over orally, and the Rosh Yeshiva would comment on it and explain it, and sometimes he would change it, right? So it means, what this means is that Rav Ashi, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, actually had two Tanaim in front of him, and one was saying Rav Yehuda, and they were arguing whether it was Rav Yehuda or Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda, because human memory is at the end of the day fallible, no matter how good you are. Okay? Fine. Since there was a contradiction, if it was in fact said by Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he said that the person who said Rabbi Yehuda, he made a mistake. The person who said it in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, he's correct. Okay, so it says, we're going to comment on this statement in the Mishnah now, right? That if you've had a wall since the time of Yoshua ben Nun, that will read on the 15th, not on the 14th. Right? Manahane mili, says the Gemara, where does this come from? Amar Rava de Amar Kra al Kain HaYehudim HaPerazim. My goodness, this has been scribbled on so much. Okay, so the pasuk says, therefore the scattered Jews who are sitting in the scattered cities, and scattered cities means a city which can grow uninhibited, it doesn't have a wall. Remember, if you build a wall around the city, it's more secure, but you're also limiting its growth. Right? Mit prazim b'arba asar mukafim b'chamish asar. Right, since the Jews in cities without walls read on the 14th, it must be that Jews in cities with walls read on the 15th. That just makes sense. Ve'ema prazim ba'asbasar mukafin kol kaloy. Maybe you'll say to people in the cities with walls shouldn't read Megillah at all. Right, that would be the answer. Right, they can't read on the 14th because it's not what the pasuk says. They won't read at all. Right? Ve'lav Yisroel Nimu, says the Gemara. It's a fascinating statement. Aren't they Jews? Right? Jews read Megillah. Ve'oid mehoidu ve'ad kushksiv. And anyway, the empire went from India to, let's assume, Kush means Ethiopia slash Libya, right? Which is basically the entire known world, and it's the entire world that has Jews. So the people who lived in the cities were affected by the miracle. So why shouldn't they read? It makes no sense. Right? There's an interesting philosophical distinction between saying they should read merely because they're Jews and they should read because they were obviously affected by the miracle. Right? And it's not the same statement. Right? So, yeah. Ve'ema prazim barbisar mukafim barbisa uvechamisar, says the Gemara. Maybe you'll say the cities without walls will read on the 14th, and people on the 15th, lucky them, will have to read 2 days in a row. Right? Kidichsiv liyosisim es yoma arba asar lachodesh adar ves yom chamisha asar boi bechol shana, because the pasuk says you do the 14th and the 15th. So who's doing both the 14th and the 15th? Maybe that's the people who live in the cities. Right? In cities with walls. This is E have kasav es yom arbasar vechamisha sar keda kamras hash dechsiv es yom arbasar ve es yom chamisha sar asa es upasik hani barbasar ve hani bechamisha sar. So this is if it had said on the 14th and the 15th, you would have been correct. Right? Then they would have had to really read 2 days in a row. But it doesn't say that. It says on the 14th ve es, and then it says ve es. It has that word es in there, which was unnecessary. On the 15th, right? It doesn't change the translation in English, but it's a word in Hebrew which doesn't change the meaning, but which didn't need to be there grammatically, right? And therefore, right, it comes to tell us that there is a difference between the 14th and the 15th. People who do it on the 14th don't do it on the 15th. The people who do it on the 15th don't do it on the 14th. Okay? ואימא פרוזים ברביסר מוקפין איבאי ברביסר איבאי בחמיסר. Says maybe you'll let them choose. People who live in walled cities can also read on the 14th, why not? Right, in other words, they don't have to do it twice. They can do it just on the 15th, but why should they do it on the 14th? Maybe they do it on both. Like, they do it on either. Right? Says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Bizmanehem, Zmanay Shel Zeh, Loi Zmanay Shel Zeh. So this is returning to something we saw in the previous Amud. Right, Bizmanehem, they're doing it in their times, right? The time of one is not the time of the other. Yeah? Ve'ema Bislesar. Right, so maybe it'll be on the 13th. Well, how do you know on the 15th? Kishushan. Right, no, they have to do it like Shushan. When did Shushan celebrate?
The 15th.
On the 15th, right? Shushan was a walled city. Therefore, it makes sense that they will do it on the same day as Shushan. Right. Ashkechan Asiya Zechira Minalan. So the Gemara says, we now know the general mitzvah of Purim. What about Zechira? What about actually reading the Megillah? Right? And with Shushan Purim isn't just Megillah on the 15th and everything else on the 14th. Shushan Purim is everything on the 15th, right? So we've talked about pasuks that talk about doing. But we haven't talked about pasuks that talk, we haven't had a pasuk yet that talks about remembering, so how do we know that Megillah will be on the 15th? Maybe Megillah is on the 14th and everything else on the 15th. Mm-hmm. Right? Amar Kra v'hayamim eila nizkarim v'nasim iskash zichir la'asiya. Says, no, these days will be remembered and they will be performed. So that means the things that you're meant to do and the things you're meant to do as a memorial will happen at the same time, right? They come together. Package deal. It says, Masnisin deloi ki haitana desanya rabbi Yeshua ben karcha omer krachin amakafin chom mis Yeshua mimois achashveirosh korin bechamisha asar. So our Mishnah is actually not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, we see in Brisa, right, said that it's walls that cities that have walls from the time of Achashverosh. And our Mishnah says cities that have walls from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Right? My time is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, Kishushan. What's the reason for the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, says the Gemara, because that's like Shushan. Shushan had a wall, that's the time of the miracle. And Shushan had a wall in the time of Achashverosh. Right? We don't know if Shushan had a wall in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. And it says, Ma Shushan mukefes chayim b'meis Achashverosh korin b'achamisha asar, af kol shem mukefes chayim b'meis Achashverosh korin b'achamisha asar. Just as Shushan had a wall then, we read on the 15th. So any city which had a wall then, we read on the 15th. It's not based on a different time. Besana didan my taima. And what's the reason for our town's opinion, for the Mishnah's opinion, who says from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun? So like I said, the Yerushalmi actually explains that the philosophy behind it is that we want to, even for a festival that has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, seemingly, we want to say, we want to give some kavod to Eretz Yisrael, right? But the Gemara here is going to, like, give a drasha, right? I don't think they're contradictory. It's more that I think the Yerushalmi is giving the motivation. Yalif prazi prazi. So we have a gzeira shava, right? We're going to compare the meaning of the word prazi in one place to the meaning of the word prazi in the other place. We're going to assume that they mean the same thing. Right? Here it says the scattered Jews who live in the cities without walls. So, Ksiv Hasan. Levad me'are ha-perazi harbe ma'od. So, in Sefer Yehoshua, it says that they conquered these cities. And that doesn't include the cities without walls, which of which there were many. Right? It says, Ma la'alan mukefes chayma mimois Yehoshua ben Nun, afkan mukefes chayma mimois Yehoshua ben Nun. So just as then, it was talking about cities that didn't have walls in time of Yehoshua ben Nun, it says, like, there's an assumption that's what the word prazi is going to mean in Megillas Esther as well. It's not just saying without walls, it means without walls at a certain point in history. Yeah, that's what the word means. So bishlama Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha loy amar kitan nandalisli prazi prazi. So it makes sense that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha didn't say what our Mishnah said, because he just didn't hold it this clear shava. He hadn't learnt it. This was not his tradition. Hachi ka amar el shushan. Oh, sorry. Thank you. El tan dan my time elu amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Why did our tan end up disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Surely Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha has a point, right? I lost my place again. Oh, my time. deha isle prosi. Prosi is tomorrow. I don't understand. We've already answered this question. He does have the Xereshava. Rav Shulchan Aruch doesn't have the Xereshava, and he does have the Xereshava. So the Tana who wrote the, who's speaking the Mishnah, says it, and Tana who's not speaking the Mishnah does it. Makes perfect sense, right? Haki kamar ela shushan de avdo keman loy ke prosim veloy kemu kafin. So it says the Gemara. So it says the Gemara. No, the problem is really Shushan. But like I said, we have no record of Shushan having a wall in Tam Yoshua Ben Nun. So
what is Shushan
doing? What is Shushan doing? Right, Shushan should really read on the 14th, right? Based on that, okay. So says the Gemara. Amar Rava. So Rava said the Amri La, and this is where people tend to get confused, including one very amusing translation of the Gemara, which I'm not going to go into right now, right? Kedi. It doesn't mean Kedi. It doesn't mean Kedi. It's not a word. It's a name. Right? Shaini Shushan ho'il v'nase ba'nes. Right? Shushan is different because Shushan was the place the miracle actually happened, so Shushan doesn't have to obey the regular rule.
Wait, Kedi is a name, or it means...
Kedi is a name.
It's someone's name.
I meaning, it can mean today, mm-hmm. Like it can be read today as in Hebrew.
I've seen that translated through. As unattributed. It, some people have said it without a name.
So some people think that that's why, I mean, not that there's a person called Kedi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Different people, nobody, as in we don't have a record of an Amora mm-hmm. called Kedi in very many places. We don't, if such a person exists, we don't know very much about him, and mm-hmm. it's a funny name. Mm-hmm. So some people think that might be what it's symbolizing, mm-hmm. but it's, in any case, it's a person.
Okay.
Right? It's not the word kedei in Hebrew, which does also appear in the Gemara. Yes.
Okay. Didn't the nes appear, like, occur throughout all of the area, not just Shushan itself?
But not on the 15th. In other words, the question is, why is Shushan reading on the 15th, not on the 14th?
Yeah.
Right? If Shushan should be reading on the 14th, because it didn't have a warning time, it should have been on, at least not that we know of. Right? So, Bishlama, the Sanadin, and Hainu Dixiv, Medina, Medina, Medina. Ve'ir vo'ir. So, for our Tanan who wrote the Mishnah, it makes perfect sense that the pasuk says Medino Medina and ir ve'ir. Okay, in the Tanakh, the word Medina probably means a very, very large city, and the word ir probably means a much smaller city, right? However, in the time of Chazal, it comes already to mean something closer to our state with borders, right? And the Gemara here is going to take it more that way. Megillas Esther is very late in the Tanakh, so I'm not going to make a clear claim about what they meant in Megillah. But sort of earlier in Tanakh, it's fairly clear that the word Medina really means a very large city. Okay? Medina or Medina, lechalag ben mukaf and chomo miyus shushu ben nun, lechalag ben chomo miyus yishchashverish, ir va'ir, nami lechalag ben shushan lishar ayaros. Since the Medina, oh, maybe I'm wrong about this word. Maybe I'm remembering correctly. Let's see. Right. Medina comes to distinguish between cities that have had a wall from the time of Yoshua ben Nun and the time of walls in time of Achshverosh, meaning walls in time of Achshverosh read on the 14th. Walls in time of Yoshua ben Nun read on the 15th. Right? And Ir va'ir comes to distinguish between different Ayaros, different cities that don't have walls, meaning if they don't have a wall now, but they did have a wall in the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Or they don't have a wall now, but they didn't have a time wall in the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Meaning, there's four categories. Cities that have walls now, and you can divide those in two. Whether they had walls or not in time Yoshua ben Nun. And then cities that do have walls now, and whether they are or not they had times in the walls in time Yoshua ben Nun. Right? And the operative factor is going to be not whether they have a wall now, it's going to be whether they have a wall in time Yoshua ben Nun. El Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha, Bishlama Medino Medino Lachag ben Shushan Lishari Yaroiz, Ela Ir Va'ir Lamai Asa. But rather, for Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha, okay, fine, makes sense. Right? Medina or Medina, those words in the pasuk come to distinguish between Shushan and other cities, right? Right. However, what's here coming to distinguish between? Meaning he only has two categories, right? He doesn't have four, he has two, because the question is whether they have walls in the time of Achshverosh. Who cares if they had a wall in time of Yeshua ben Nun? Right, so what are those words doing in the pasuk? Amar lach Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha lesana didan minicha? Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, wait, you're so comfortable with what he said? Really? Kevan de Isle Prazi Prazi Medina Medina Lamali. This is Shuman Karka. Why do I need this extra drasha from Medina Vechol Irva Ir if I already have a Xereshava to make the exact same point? Right? I don't need to make the same point twice.
I think that's from
Elakla lidrasha hu de'asa, says the Gemara. Rather, this pasuk is coming to give us a drasha. Right, it's coming to give us a very specific drasha. Ochad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hu de'asa. And it's coming like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that we're about to explain. Da'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Krach v'chol ha-samuchloi v'chol ha-niro imoi nidoin kekrach. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that a city, meaning with walls, right, and everything which is near it and everything which is next to it is going to be assessed like the city which has walls to breed. This, by the way, leads to a very famous debate. Lamaisa, should Gush Etzion read on the 14th or the 15th? Because you can fairly clearly see Yerushalayim from Gush Etzion. Only Lamaisa Gush Etzion reads on the 14th. Tov. But the simple meaning of the Gemara is that if you can see the city from where you're standing, then you would read on the 15th. Ad Kama. So how far away does it really need to be? What comes? How says next to it? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Vesema Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Kei Mechamasan Letveria Mil. So Rabbi Yirmiya said in the name of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, right? Like the difference distance from Chamasan to Tveria, two cities in the Galilee. Very well known it is. Chamasan, probably most people don't know what it is. Near Tveria, right? Apparently, how far away are they? Are they far away? They're a mil, a Roman mile. It's a little less than a mile. Okay. Belima. By the way, that what gave rise to the word milestone, because the Romans used to put a stone every mile to mark the distance. Belima mil. So why didn't you just say a Roman mile? Why are you saving from Chamasan to Tveria? So the Gemara's come trying to teach you the distance that would count as a mil. Right? This is, by the way, again, this provides an opportunity to discuss the nature of Shirim Chazal. Right? So, a famous question got asked already. I mean, everybody thinks it's a 20th century question. Why is it that they deal us an olive? Why don't they give us, and I will insert your favorite measure for an olive, because there's about a dozen of them. Right? Why do they tell us a revius? Why don't they tell us a revius, which is not a precise shear? Why not instead tell us, you know, how many milliliters? Right? And then somebody will typically answer because they didn't have those measurements then. And somebody who knows a little bit more history will say, yes, they did. Because they did. I mean, they didn't have those specific measurements, but they had much more precise measurements than an olive. Right? And the answer is, according to Atshuva in the Gaonim, this is not a modern question, it was already asked in the 7th century, that they were trying to make it convenient. Right? Meaning not that many people, even these days, let alone then, carry around a measuring cup. Carry around scales, etc. Right, or carry around a surveyor's equipment to measure a mile. Right, so they're trying to give you measures that are useful for you if you don't have all the specialized equipment you need, like the distance from Kamasan.
That makes it even less convenient because an olive's not an olive and an egg's not an egg or whatever.
Well, you know, actually, the truth is
that makes it worse. I'd rather just have
Minyan, you know, so Minyan. Ravulik actually does say that Meikra Din and like Rabbi Belozner, that Meikra Din, an olive is really an olive and an egg is really an egg, which means that if you're sick on Pesach, then just eat the matzah the size of an olive, which is really not that much matzah. He was machmir that you should like stack it and crush it. Says the size of an olive, it works out to be about a tenth of a sheet. It's really not that much.
It's much better than
a third, which is what everybody else does as a bakel sheet. Yeah. You know, you get exciting statements like how much flour is there in it, or how much flour is in this, it's compressed, all those things. Tough, anyway. Right. Ve'amar Rabbi Yirmiya ve'isema Rabbi Chia bar Amma Man Sapach Sofin Amaron. So it says, and now we're going to, this happens sometimes, right, now that we've said a statement named Rabbi Yirmiya, or maybe it was Rabbi Chia bar Abba, we're not sure which, so now we're going to say other statements that may have been said by either Rabbi Yirmiya or Rabbi Chia bar Abba, because, yeah.
The other one said it.
Well, maybe, we're not sure, right, it could have been either, but there's a finite number of statements that fit this categorization, so we'll just list them, right? So there are five dinim that were said by the Tzofim, by those who see, meaning by the Nevi'im. Don't worry, I'm keeping track of time.
Five minutes early.
What?
Don't we start 5 minutes early for Thursday?
No, not this, not this semester. I'm paying attention, don't worry. But, really, it's just an excuse because Dahlia's tired of listening to me. So it says, these halachos will, they will be explained. Oh, sorry, my bad. No, they won't be explained because it's expected you'll understand. Manzapach are the five letters which have a different character if they look different if they're at the end of the word. Meaning, why is there a mem and a mem safit? Why is there a nun and a nun safit? Why is there a tadi and a tadi safit? Right? That is a halacha that was said by the Nevi'im. Okay. Right? Vehasis for us. Is it Baruch? Really? Vehachsiv. And doesn't it say Eile ha-mitzvos? And the pasuk says, these are the mitzvos. Right? Meaning, these are the mitzvos that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Am Yisrael. Not other mitzvos. Meaning, they cannot be added by Nevi'im later on. And so why do we care about the way they write letters? Well, this is Taka problem because the Sefer Torah is written in these letters, right? So if Mem Safit was added by, I don't know, Shmuel, right, one of the VM, so how can we change the way Sefer Torah was written? By the way, the truth is the way the Torah was written did change from at some point or another, from Ksav Ivri, from, right, the sort of native Hebrew text to what's called Ksav Ashuri, that we'll see is explained later on, and the Gemara Shabbos, as they have a drasha for that. Right, so that's a little different. So it says, that this is a rule that no Navi is allowed to create a new halacha from now on. The Ode, and also Ha'amar Rav Chista Mem Vesamach Shebeluchos Ben Neitayoimdim, and didn't Rav Chista say, and this is the second kashya, I'm going to end on the kashya, right, that the Mem in the Luchos and the Samech stood by a miracle, meaning what does that mean? Right?
It wasn't attached to anywhere.
Yeah, okay, so the letters in the Luchos went through and through. Right, so you could see through them to the other side. Right, but when it comes to a mem safit in the summit, there are circles, so that means that there's a stone bit in the middle that's just sort of sitting there, right, in thin air. That's a miracle. So that proves that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, mem safit already existed. Right, at least if you take that statement seriously.
And you assume it's written in Ketav Ashuri.
Sorry?
And you assume it's written in Ketav Ashuri.
Well, it's a question of the Machlokes is, was it ever in fact written in Ketav Ivri?
Okay.
Right? I mean, we know that Ketav Ivri existed. Nobody's disputing that Ketav Ivri existed. The Gemara is fully aware of the existence of Ketav Ivri. The question is, was the Sefer Torah ever written in Ketav Ivri? Which, in fairness, right, the assumption of the academic world, and I just assumed it, a second ago, was that it was, but we don't have a clear record of that. Right, we have literally no Torah text whatsoever that was written in Ksav Ivri, except for in Qumran, and there it was Dafka, the non-Torah bits that were written in Ksav Ivri, not the Torah bits. Like, they would quote, they have these half-texts, so they read that. It's like, you know, in Rashi script, sometimes they have in regular block script, the bit from the Qumran, so they'll have the bit of the Torah in Ksav Ashuri and the rest in Ksav Ivri sometimes. Anyway.